Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Cyberspace Church with Unfailing Love Ministries. We're so happy to have you here today. God is so good. He loves us just that much that nothing can stop the ongoing ministry of the church here in Cyberspace today. And if you had endeavored to be with us at our location, 5311 Distributor Drive, on today, sorry you made a failed trip. We're just doing Cyberspace Church today, and that's okay. Go home or get on your cell phone and call 347-838-9054, and we're here live, and we're happy to be so. Amen? Glory to God. And so we want to just be a blessing to you today. There is a word from the Lord, and you're going to hear it, waiting on the rest of my staff to get on board and call in. And when they call, when they get in, oh my God, are we going to have for a time? Yes, we are. So I'm looking forward to you just being blessed by what they have to share today as well. Some things that are coming up, I want to let you know so you can stay tuned in, mark your calendars right now. We have coming up. Yes, we are. We're going to hear that message from Matthew Parham next Saturday. We've had to put it off for 2 weeks because things just come up, right? So stay tuned. We will be back in the sanctuary at 5311 Distributor Drive. And the messenger for next Saturday, 4:30 p.m., will be our own minister, Matthew Parham. April the 9th, Deacon Elder Deacon Douglas Goon, my boo, is going to be bringing his trial message on April the 9th at 4:30 in the sanctuary at 5311 Distributor Drive. So we're excited, so excited about those two great messages coming up. Additionally, we are excited to share with you that on that same day, April the 9th, Dr. V, yours truly, is going to be hosting the Listening Cup Getaways for Women in Leadership. That's going to start at 9 a.m. out at the Birkdale at the Elizabeth Suites. So if you haven't registered already, we do have limited seating. We want you to be a part of that wonderful meeting. That's going to be from 9 to 1 on April the 9th. If you would like to know all about everything else we're doing, please check our Facebook site, check on the Unfailing Love Ministries, and also check on the Dr. Verlene Haley Good. We post frequently what we're doing and what we're all about, and we don't want you to miss that, okay? All right, blessings to you. Want to continue by opening up with this prayer. I want you to pray with me, okay? God, we thank you today for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for all that you're doing for us. We're inviting the whole of the United States in today. We're going to be praying for all of the whole of our country because they need prayer. We need to be in your face, God. So much going on, so much politically going on, so much violence in our country, in our streets, in our homes, communities, Father God. So much debt and indebtedness, so much anxiety, so much poor health, and people not having access to better health care. People that would love to work can't find jobs, Father God. People who would love to go back to school but don't have the wherewithal. We're needy, and we need you in a special way. You know all the ways that we need you, Father, because you said in your word that you know our downsetting and our uprising. You know our thoughts from afar off. There's no place that we can go, Father, unless that you are there. You are there with us, and we thank you for being with us in every way, Lord God, and for the opportunity to just come to you, as your scripture says, boldly come to you and find grace and help at a time of need. We thank you for that, Father. And Father, as this program moves on, we dedicate it to the whole of the, again, of the United States, every person in this country, Father God, no matter what race, creed, age, ethnicity they are, Father God, they need you for something. Your word says that you hear us when we cry out to you, and before we call, you answer. And so we trust your word, we believe your word, and we look forward to you fulfilling your word in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to come to you in this way and ask you for the help that we need this day. It's in Jesus' name that we praise you and we pray. Amen. And now, after this election, this is Marvin Sapp, the best in me. If you've just tuned in to us, this is Unfailing Love Ministries Cyber Church today, here Saturday at 4:30.
Only see me for who I am. Help me, nigga. Nigga. Help me. midst of that. That may be somebody else's testimony. Help me say it, help me say it.
He saw the best in me.
Everyone else around me. One question. The question is simply this: what did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help with it here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time: what did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you would never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see? Yes. Is there anybody in here tonight that's so very thankful that God did not write you off, that he did not throw you away, that he picked you up?
He saw the best. He saw the best. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to open up the lines for a second so all our leaders can greet you now and just welcome you to the Love Zone and Unfailing Love Ministry. So I'm opening up all the lines, and we can start with Minister Gemma and just go on down. Welcome to the Love Zone at Unfailing Love Ministry.
Thank you, and welcome to one and all.
Amen. Pastor Val on. Okay. Pastor Lonnie.
Praise God, I am here and ready to serve. Praise God, everyone. I pray that everyone catch what they need to catch this today, and visit us sometimes at our building on the south side of Richmond, Virginia. To all y'all up and down the East Coast, and as far as I can see across this country, we're about to bless God, and we pray that you will bless him with us. Welcome.
Amen.
Amen. Elder Good.
Praise the Lord, everyone. The Bible says when two or three gathered in his name, he'll be in the midst. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We have someone listening from area code 757. You want to shout out? And we have someone listening, first digits of 335.
Principal P, hi everyone.
Hey,
hi, Principal P. Glory to God. Amen. So
praise
then
Lord.
We praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, great. Glory to God. So most of the family is here at Unfailing Love Ministries, and we just again, once again, welcome you all of the United States. We're praying for all the United States today, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the Midwest to the, you know, wherever you are, and even and. What is some of the other cities, Alaska and Puerto Rico, everywhere. And we even love our Canadian friends today, so we're going to be praying for them as well, too. Glory to God. Want to get straight to our leadership teaching for today. But before we do that, I just want to lift up what the message is so you can have that on your heart. Those of you who have your Compass Bibles, get those near because we're going to be in that Bible today for sure. The title of our theme of our service today is Be Better, Not Bitter. Be Better, Not Bitter. So you have something to look forward to. And I'm going to give you a scripture to kind of help you think about it for a second. That's there. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Wow. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Amen. Today we have Minister Gemma who's going to be bringing us our leadership message that's there. And I know she's been on hold for the last couple of weeks to bring it. So we're excited about her bringing it today. And so without further ado, we're going to release the line to her, muting everybody else out. And she's going to teach us a little something, something.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello to everyone out there on the airwaves. My name is Gemma. And I bless God that he gives me the opportunity to come to you all over the air to share the scriptures with you all. And I'm going to do my endeavor best to try and teach what God has put on my heart to teach you all today. My teaching is coming from Psalm 1, and from the first verse it says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's a wonderful word that God used here when he said blessed is a man, because when you are blessed, there is nothing else to come after that. He could have said, happy is a man, wonderful is a man, but he chose to use the word blessed. And it's an honor when people look at you and say, you are blessed. And blessing is to enjoy God's special favor and grace. And that's something we all need. When we walk not, as Christians and believers, when people see us, they tend to, they can say, well, okay, this is a child of God, and they can refer to us as, instead of saying our name, they say, there goes one that walk not, nor stand not, nor sit. That means if you walk in a Christian road, the righteous man is described by what he avoids. So we are not to sit in the seat of discomfort. So if we are not sitting there, we are described as people that are sitting with God on the higher level. Verse 2 tells us, his delight, a righteous man is described as someone who loves the law of God. That's true. Because we are supposed to dwell, you know, daily. All of our thoughts and being supposed to be with him and in him. The law can refer to be specific command. It can be a specific command, but also to the whole scripture. So the righteous person goes on and obtain response to the scripture which express the will of God. Verse 3 says, like a tree. Think about a tree that's planted. Take yourself by the like by the beach or at the riverside, and look how nourishing the trees by the riverside are. Even the grass, the wild running vines, they're very healthy. So he's telling us that if we plant ourselves in him, we are going to be like those trees that's by the rivers of water, because he is going to feed us through his word. And his word is life. So we live in his word, and we will have life, and we will flourish. But number 4, verse 4 tells us, the wicked are not so. True. The wicked are compared to the dead and rootless plants, and they're easily driven away by the wind. So that means if you're wicked, you're not in Christ, and therefore you cannot be nourished. If you are not nourished, you are going to die. So you have a choice, either to live for God or to live for the other person, and that's not in our book. As Christians, we know we ought to live for God and live by his laws. Verse 6 here, the Lord knows the way. Yes, he knows the way, and we have to go to him to show us the way. And once we do that, we would not end up sitting in the seat of the scornful, or we won't be dried up because we're not by the waters. That means we're far away from him. So the idea of righteousness is fulfilled in Jesus. My end note is, the righteous person loves and studies it, but the wicked person hates the word. That's the prayer of my heart today. I thank everyone. I give God all the glory and everything for allowing me to be able to say these few feeble words on his behalf. Thank you very much. God bless each and everyone that's listening, and I hope that somebody finds some sort of guidance in my words. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Vanessa Gemma. I just open up all the lines because I want our leaders online to have comment or questions, Q&A, about the leadership lesson that you just taught. And so we're going to start with Minister Pastor Lonnie.
Well, I understand that that Psalms 1 is an awesome psalm. I had my daughter just read that the other evening. And it does express what we need in order to be good Christians, not just be good Christians, but just good people in general. And Pastor Gemma, you did an awesome job in bringing that, knowing your nervousness at times. So I praise God for your information and for your strength and leadership.
Thank you.
Amen. Elder Good.
Hey, praise the Lord, everyone. I got that pastor, Minister Gemma was saying that what I've got is that God is going to bless us if we continue to follow him. And in saying that, also that if you don't have the knowledge, just because you say you don't have the knowledge is not going to be an excuse, because the Bible is available to everyone. So he's saying he's going to bless the ones that are faithful, and the ones that are not faithful are going to be punished. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Principal P.
The main thing I got from the reading, I always think of it as that when it says that he should be like a tree, and you plant yourself firmly, but he's always there for you no matter what. And he's there to guide you, and you do what he says. It's going to be all right no matter how hard it gets. That's definitely what I get. And you will live and do upright. Of course, you're going to fall sometimes. He's going to be there for you no matter what.
Amen. That's true.
Amen.
I like that. He's going to be there with you no matter what. When I was a young Christian, I would have my children, my nieces and nephews, they had to learn this song. And they did, and they still remember it to this day. They're all grown now and have kids and everything. But when I look at this scripture again, especially out of our book, verse 3 says, "You are like a tree planted by flowing and streams of water that never run dry." And I like that for so many reasons, because when we are going through the seasons of our lives, that's that one part of being, to me, being blessed is when you're in a difficult season. You know, like we're getting some rain here on the East Coast today, getting ready to get some. But yesterday it was sunny and mild and a little breezy, whatever like that. And then tomorrow it may be some snow. In other words, we go through different, just like these days are changing, we go through different seasons in our lives where things change. But that being planted by that river water and it's never running dry, to me, tells me that no matter what season that I am in, it could be a winter, it could be spring, it could be summer, it could be fall, whatever, I'm still planted. I'm still being nourished from the root. I'm still being encouraged. I'm still being supported. God is still backing me. It may be challenging, but he hasn't withdrawn away from me his ability to nourish me from inside out, as it were. God has a way of encouraging us during the difficult seasons in our lives. He said in his word, and we have to believe that, lo, he will be with us when? Always. Always. And so I thank you, Minister Gemma, for that message today, for that teaching today, because as leaders we need to know that, because we definitely go through seasons. Amen?
Oh, amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We're going to listen to a selection now before the Word of God comes. I'm excited about the Word of God coming today, because I'm going to hear something I haven't heard before. Amen. Sure I am. That's there. And I'm excited about that. It's a Marvin Sapp kind of day today. And so we're listening to this next selection. And I hope you enjoy it. Here it is. After this commercial.
Good.
Amen. How many can say amen on that?
Amen.
Amen.
Never, never would have made it without you. Well, say to God, we have a word today from the Lord, and I'm excited about that word today. It says, be better, not bitter. And as usual, your pastor always probably have a series message going on, because I doubt if I could get through all of this today, what God has downloaded. But I mentioned to you early at the top of the hour about Hebrews 12 and 14. I read it from a different translation. I want to read it to you from our Compass translation now, and then put your finger there, and we're going to quickly go to Luke, the 23rd chapter, the 34th verse, Luke 23. We're going to read from that passage as well. But our basic scripture here is Hebrews 12 and 14. That's our foundation scripture. We'll come back to it after we present to this story. So 12 and 14 says this from the Compass script. It says, glory to God. Get my eyes here. 12, 14. Pursue peace. Pursue peace with who? Everyone. And holiness also, since no one will see God without it. Go on, it says, watch carefully that no one falls short of God's favor, that no well of bitterness springs up to trouble you and throw many others off the path. Read it again for you, because I wanted to see again. This is going to be a great adventure here. Pursue peace with everyone. With who?
Everyone.
And holiness, since no one can see God without it. Verse 15. Watch carefully that no one falls short of God's favor, that no well of bitterness springs up to trouble who? You. And throw many off the path. Wow. That's our foundational scripture. Let's go to Luke now. 23rd chapter of Luke.
And look at it.
We know we're approaching Easter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
In doing so, we're going to be muting everybody out because I'm going to go on to the teaching now. In doing so, you know, we often hear the stories about Jesus going to the cross. Here's the story in part. I'm going to start at I'm going to start at verse 19. That's good. Barabbas had been in prison after being convicted of insurrection he had led in Jerusalem. He had also committed murder. Pilate agreed with them, wishing he would release Jesus, but they wouldn't be silenced. The crowd was yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate countering a third time, "Why? What has he done that is so evil? I found him no offense worthy of capital punishment. As I said, I will punish him and then release him." But they would not relent. They shouted louder and louder that he would be crucified. And eventually Pilate capitulated. So he pronounced the punishment they demanded. He released the rebel and murderer, Barabbas, the insurrectionist. They had pleaded for his place. And he handed Jesus over to them to do with as they desired. On the way to the place of crucifixion, they pulled a man from the crowd. His name was Simon of Cyrene, a person from the countryside who had happened to be entering the city at that moment. They put Jesus' cross on Simon's shoulders, and he followed behind Jesus. Along with him was a huge crowd of common people, including many women shrieking and wailing in grief. Jesus, to the people in the crowd, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and weep for your children. Days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed, hey, Kehilah Messiah,' or the infertile. 'Blessed are the wombs that never bore a child. Blessed are the breasts that never nursed an infant.' People will beg the mountains, 'Surround us.' They'll plead with the hills, 'Cover us.' But if they treat me, for if they treat me like this, when I'm like green, unseasoned wood, what will they do to a nation that's ready to burn like seasoned firewood?" Wow, Jesus is talking here. Verse 32, Jesus wasn't the only one being crucified that day. There were two other criminals and who were also being led to their execution. When they came to the place known as the Skull, they crucified Jesus there in the company of criminals, one to the right of Jesus and the other to his left. Jesus said, "Father," verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Meanwhile, they were drawing lots to see who would win Jesus' clothing. The crowd of people stood watching, the authorities mocking Jesus. "So he was supposed to rescue others, was he? He was supposed to be God's anointed, the liberating king. Let's see him start by liberating himself." The soldiers joined the mockery, First, they pretended to offer him a soothing drink, but it was sour wine. Soldiers say, hey, if you're the king of the Jews, why don't you free yourself? When the inscription they placed over him was intended to mock him. This is the king of the Jews. This was written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. One of the criminals joined in cruel talk. The cynical criminal, you're supposed to be the anointed one, right? Well, do it. Rescue yourself and us. But the other criminal told him to be quiet. The believing criminal said this, don't you have any fear of God at all? You're getting the same death sentence he is. We're getting what we deserve since we're committed crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong at all. Turning to Jesus, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, please, sir, please remember me. Jesus said, I promise you that this very day you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said in verse 43, I promise you that this very day you will be with me in paradise. Remember our foundational scripture that came from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, and it says again, I read it for your remembrance. It says, pursue peace with everyone and holiness, since no one will see God without it. Watch carefully that no one falls short of God's favor. Hallelujah. That no well of bitterness springs up to trouble you and throw many others off the path. Glory to God. And part one of this message is this. Again, our theme is be better, not bitter. Jesus has always been and must always be for the Christian. He must be our role model. He has to be our coach. He has to be our leader. He has to be the one we look to. The Bible says that when we lack wisdom, ask God. He gives us liberally that wisdom that we need. And in this time and day, when you can turn on the TV at any time and just look, listen for and watch for a few minutes, and you'll find yourself sitting up there getting mad and angry and upset and want to almost punch somebody yourself because there's so much craziness going on. You know, when we watch the political process, we watch all of the bigotry and the racism and all the name-calling and all the, you know, I mean, nobody is left out. Everybody is mocking somebody in this whole political process. Well, if you don't want to watch the political scene, well, just watch other news. Every community you can imagine, on any given day, somebody is being beat up. Somebody is being bullied. Somebody is being shot and killed and raped or maimed. All of this is going on. There are a lot of guilty people out there in the land today of some kind of thing, whether you are crucified, persecuting people with your mouth, your tongue, or doing acts of violence or what have you. Who can find someone who is not on any given day guilty of using their tongue to kill, amen, or to destroy, or to tear down? That's that. The Bible says the tongue is desperately wicked and deceitful. Wow. That's why the Bible tells us that we are held accountable for every word that proceeds out of our mouth. Jesus, in this example here, is fulfilling his destiny. Yes, Dr. V, he absolutely is. But on the way there, And this is just one version of it. You know, in the other Gospels, in the first four, each of those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all tell their own version of what they saw as Jesus was going to the cross. But in Luke, this particular one, he talks about Simon of Cyrene coming in at the very moment that Jesus was being led up to Golgotha, to the place called the Skull, to be crucified. It opens up with the king struggling because he didn't find any fault in Jesus. He knew that Barabbas was a criminal. He knew that he had got what he deserved. But the people were crying out, "Release the criminal and crucify Jesus." And they had all kinds of motives, right? How many times have we been in a place where the unjust person, the person who really did the crime, got off, and we're standing being persecuted for something we did not do? I remember coming up in the church that I hear the saints of God sing these songs, "You can talk about me just as much as you please, but the more you talk, I'm going to stay on my knees. You scandalize my name," and all this kind of thing. I'm going like, wow, whoa, really, is that what's going on? But they lived long enough to sing those kinds of songs that were, they felt like in life, amen, that they had been abused, misused, talked about, and accused. And some of us may feel like that at any particular time. We didn't do anything, but we're still being bullied. We're still being badgered. We're still being discriminated against. We're still being persecuted. And Jesus, in this case, had done nothing. And you, in your case, may have done nothing, but you were still being persecuted. And so when Simon comes in, and on the scene, Simon of Cyrene, historically, when you look it up, you would say that he was a black man. And a season in America and a time of our life, he would be, if that was a contemporary scene, he would just be the slave who could carry Jesus' cross. And he carried his cross for a moment in time. But when Jesus was lifted up, like all of the other, the two men, the criminals on the left and the right, when he was lifted up, the same nails that were put in their hands and in their feet that was put in Jesus' hand and Jesus' feet. And one of them said, "Well, you know what? If you're the king, why don't you just save yourself and save us too?" The other criminal on the cross looked and said, and we just read that, "When you come into your kingdom, remember me." That said, and Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." This is a person who was guilty. And he knew he was guilty, amen, but he looked, something inside of him honored the someone who had done nothing to deserve it and asked him, "I want to be in the place, I want you to remember me when you get to your place. We're all going to die, but when you get to paradise, when you get to your kingdom, remember me." How can it be that Jesus, being already beaten for something that he didn't do, unmercifully so. Those of you who saw the movie Passion, that was hard to watch, that scene where he was beaten to the flesh, was just literally ripped off of his body that's there. And then on top of that, being hung up and then being mocked and cursed and then pierced in the side. And another gospel has said water and blood came from his side. And after going through all of that, hear him say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That was peace saying, "I'm not bitter about this persecution. It is what I'm supposed to go through in order for me to fulfill my purpose. And I'm asking," you know, the Prince of Peace, that's Jesus, is asking God, you know, the sovereign God, to forgive people who are guilty. They wanted him crucified, huh? but they didn't know that they were crucifying the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sometimes people don't realize that they're picking on somebody who's, like Sister said earlier in our teaching, somebody that's blessed, somebody that's anointed, somebody that's purposed, somebody that has been appointed to save you, but you want them crucified. How many times have you worked with somebody and you were trying to cover them and they came in and became a part of the people who wanted to get you fired, but you were trying to cover them and they wouldn't stay undercover and they came out and became your enemy versus coming out and saying, thank you for covering me. Thank you for sacrificing for me. But yet these people were mocking Jesus. And Jesus, like it says over in Isaiah 9:6-9, he is the Prince of Peace. He's a wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. He's a mighty God. We, again, have to get our example for how we respond in life to people and circumstances and situations like Jesus did. It was for purpose that he was on the cross. He wouldn't even let Peter, his disciple, come and deter him from fulfilling that purpose. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, when Peter came and said, oh, no, we're not going to let that happen. When you know in life, and this is the thing I'm going to challenge us as leaders to do, when you know in life that you're fulfilling God's purpose and you know in life that only God can bless you, only God can cause men to bless you. Only God can keep you in a place of persecution. Only God can bring you through to the other side. Only God can cause you to get up on the third day of your death experience with all power in his hand and cause you to walk victorious in the land. When we know that, when we go through stuff, people are going to be used by the enemy to try to destroy us, to mock us, to do all manner of evil things against us. That's there. But Jesus knew this, and I think he wants us to know this. You can tear this temple down. You can say whatever you want about me, but give me 3 days and let me get up with all power in my hand. I don't have to curse you. In fact, I'll ask God to forgive you like Philip did. He said, don't hold this to their charge. They beat him to death. And he was still saying, don't hold this to their charge, what they're doing to me. Can we get like Jesus? Can we get like Philip? Can we be persecuted by people and still not walk away in bitterness? The Bible doesn't say that Jesus got up on the third day and said, I'm going to go get all them Negroes, go get all them Jewish people, go get all them Roman people, get all them scribes and Pharisees who persecuted me, and I'm going to round them up and I'm going to handle them because right now I got all power in my hand. No, he got up on that third day and he went about preaching and teaching and getting his disciples ready for when he ascended again, they would be empowered to go and turn the world upside down. That scripture says that don't let any root of bitterness well up in you. And that root of bitterness, when it does, it impacts you negatively more so than the people that were on the outside accusing you and persecuting you and talking about you and saying slanderous things about you and doing all kind of manner of things to you. That root of bitterness growing up in you is going to mess with you more than that. And then when that root of bitterness is expressed in you, it is going to cause other people to get off path back there at that Hebrew scripture. How we handle persecution, leaders, how we handle persecution, how we handle mocking, how we handle difficult situations where we've been betrayed, not just in the marketplace, but even at home. How your kids talk crazy to you sometimes, your husband, your spouse, your wife talk crazy to you sometimes, and you sit back and get bitter and stay bitter and then move over into revengefulness and that kind of thing. Let your persecution cause you to become better. Let it prepare you even more. Let it push you to all the more want to be in the place of fulfilling your purpose in life. what God called you to do. Because guess what? I posted it up today on Facebook just before our broadcast today. I said, let the past, let things that happened to you, you know, let it work for you, not keep you there. And it says, and then there's, I also posted up something today that says, you were given this life because you were strong enough to live it. My God. Huh? Jesus was strong enough to go through what he had to go through so that so many other people might be saved. He became the saving sacrifice. How many of us would like to know that our suffering, what we go through, will help so many other people because they're watching us? They're watching how we handle persecution. They're watching how we handle betrayal. They're watching how we handle being despitefully used and all that kind of thing. If Dr. V, if Pastor Lonnie, if Elder Goo can walk away from a persecuted situation and keep focused on what you were called to do and still treat other people right, still forgive people, still help people, still be in a place of love, if I watch them do that, then I know that I can do that too. Huh? Bitterness, one of the posts I said today as well, is a root that ruins the garden of peace. When we hold on to disappointment, a poisonous root of bitterness begins to grow. Huh? And then again, my little Pooh Bear on there says, let your past make you better, not bitter. That's the message today. That was the message today, because when we look at what's going on the political scene, no matter who becomes president in the next year, we can't, if we're disappointed, whether it's Trump or anybody else, Clinton or any of the other candidates, and they get in and they disappoint us, are we going to sit back and wallow in bitterness, or are we going to keep going? We're going to get up with the power that we've been given to live a life more than a conqueror. This person said this. It's an unknown. He says, life is too short to have a victim mentality. Say to yourself, I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to be better. Another writer says this. The only person you should try to be better than is the person you were yesterday. We, like Jesus said, no man take my life, I lay it down. When you give other people power to control what your state is and how you respond to how they treated you, how they treat you should not change who you are. Amen? Nelson Mandela said this. As I walk out the door toward my freedom, I knew that if I did not leave all the anger, hatred, and bitterness behind, that I would still be in prison. Let me say that again. Nelson Mandela said, as I walked out the door toward the freedom, I knew that if I did not leave all the anger, hatred, and bitterness behind, that I would still be in prison. Who wants to be in prison by someone? You've done the time, and if you hold on to and let that root of bitterness walk with you into the future, he would have never become the president of South Africa. Huh? And a man, when they talk about Nelson Mandela now, they don't talk about the years that he spent in prison. They don't anymore. They talk about what an awesome statesman he was, what wisdom he had. People came from all around the world to sit at his feet to learn how he endured such great persecution and imprisonment and came out and was not bitter against the apartheid, but went on to become a leader in his stead. How Jesus, even now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, he could have did like he did when he went into the temple and beat the money changers out. He could have come down from that cross and handle that business. Or he could have called a legion of angels to totally wipe out everybody who was mocking him and teasing him and who had beaten him and mocked him, but he did not. He stayed the course of purpose. Huh? I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Why don't we adopt that as a motto for ourselves? I came, no matter what your community is in, where you live, what household you're in, what relationship you're in, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, if you stay the purpose, whether they take advantage of the light that you bring, the life that you bring, the love that you bring, that's on them. If they don't receive it, Jesus said he went into a city. We go into a city and they don't receive us, shake the dust and keep on going. But it didn't change who he was. He came to bring life and that more abundantly. Don't be bitter. Be better. People disappoint you. They have an opportunity to do that every day. Don't let that disappointment change who you are and get you off purpose. People are watching you. They will be overthrown by the way you handle life. They're watching you. Let people know that there's a greater, as we say it sometimes, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm going to endeavor, and I challenge you to pursue peace with all men and holiness, as Hebrews tells us. Let me read it again in my closing. There's so much more to share on this, but I don't want to belabor it. I want you to kind of get that to soak in as well. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness, since no one will see God without it. Watch carefully that no one falls short of God's favor. Didn't that thief on the cross get God's favor? My God. When Jesus said, this day you will be with me, where? In paradise. That no well of bitterness springs up to trouble you. Hey, that's what the well of bitterness does. And throw many others off the path. Don't want it to happen. I don't want it to happen in my life. I encourage you to think and meditate on these scriptures as we approach Easter and we remember what Christ did for us. Remember that he was between two criminals, and those that were all around him could not see who he was and did not realize their purpose. And so they did things that they thought was going to take him out, but it only allowed him to fulfill his purpose. Helped him to get down, go down to hell, and take the keys from the adversary to our eternal life and come back up with all power. So we better be careful who we persecute, because we may be strengthening them for their purpose. Amen? Glory to God. I'm excited about continuing in this word and bringing you further what God has showed me, but I don't want your attention span to go anywhere. I want you to remember that God is asking us and encouraging us today, amen, to not be bitter. Nothing good is going to come out of bitterness. It'll turn on us, but endeavor to be better, amen. Glory to God. So, having said that, I'm going to open it up, you know, for my leaders to have comment, Q&A time. I'm going to bring everybody back on and ask for your comment, feedback on the message today. Glory to God. Amen. Minister Pasolani.
Yes, ma'am. My toes are hurting right now because you stepped on them a couple of times. And it hit home with what a situation I'm going through as far as about not being bitter but better. And I had let my hair grow. I refused to cut my hair, making a stand on getting what was due to be bitter. That's basically what it was. And something came to me and said, forget about that, man. Just be better and cut your hair off and show people that, like David, get up off the floor when when David's child died that he had with Bathsheba, and they came and said, your child going to die because you shouldn't have did what you did. And he said, no, not my child, take me. But when the child died, he got up and brushed and cleaned himself off and ate. And they said, well, what's going on? He said, well, he's not here no more. I got to keep on doing what the Lord say do. And that's how I look at that. I have to keep on doing what the Lord say do and stop being in a bitter place and let him take care of things like I keep saying that he's going to take care of. You got to let God do what he's going to do. And that's what I received from that word. Be kind to everybody, no matter how they treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Take the dust off your feet is what I tell a lot of people. So thank you for that
Elder
word.
Goose. Thank you, Elder Goose.
Well, what I have to say is that we have to be mindful, just like Jesus was, that a lot of people in our lives have mistreated us. But we have to just move on like Pastor Lonnie said. We cannot be bitter because bitterness, how many of us know when you get bitter, you get so angry that you'll get sick. So we just have to just forget about it and, like you said, let the Lord battle. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing this there. Who else is on the line? Oh, Minister Gemma.
Uh-huh.
Minister Gemma.
Yes.
Amen.
You call on me or Pastor Sharon?
Yes, your comment about the message.
Okay, my comment about the passage, I said pursue peace with everyone. That wakes me up a little bit because I can remember not too long ago I was in a place with some of my family members, and it wasn't a nice day because I started, like, I don't like this one and I don't like that one and I don't care about this one, I don't care about that one. And I get to realize that, you know, being upset and you know, stuff like that with your brothers and sisters, it's not a nice feeling. Yes, you're upset and you cannot be happy. Once you're upset, you cannot be happy. And I think for me, claiming to be a child of God, I'm supposed to be happy. In any situation, I'm supposed to be happy. And I just, you know, give it up. And I bring myself in a position now that I am at peace with myself and all my family, and I deal with each and everyone as it is, you know, to be dealt with at that time for the situation. So that is what my take on it is. You know, when I heard you said it before, pursue peace with everyone, that jump up at me. You know, and that's the prayer of my heart right now. Thank you very much for that word.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Does anyone else have any additional comments? Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Read some scriptures earlier, but I did not get it.
Okay.
I didn't get the book that you take. The only one I get was Hebrews 12 and 14.
Luke the 23rd chapter.
Luke
starting 23rd. At the 19th verse.
At 19. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Saints of God, we want to always, you know, seek the how Jesus handled certain situations to be our guide. We can't, a lot of times when we didn't know, when we were younger and less mature in our personal development, Christian development and walk, we would say things like this, and sometimes we still may say things, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I handle stuff. You know what I'm saying? You make me mad, I'm going to get even, kind of thing. Yeah, eye for an eye.
Yes.
The Bible says for us to pray for those who despitefully misuse us and abuse us, and they would be like heaps of coal on top of their head. I mean, God has a way. When your people reap what they sow, and we do too.
Yes, that's true.
That. And so, but we're only responsible to tame our own tongue, not the tongue of anybody else's, you know. And so we learned that, you know, one of the, this is what's amazing. Look at this picture for a second. People are very, very conscious that Donald Trump says anything he wants to say out of his mouth about anybody and whoever. But his platform says, we just want to make America better. So how can you make America better by talking about a race or a religion of people or a gender of people or a man or a woman, describing them in despicable ways and, you know, all that kind of thing. How can you make America better by being so disparaging whenever it suits you? And then the other part of that, too, is that people who may say things under their breath and behind your back or whatever, they're the first ones to say that this man could not possibly represent and be our president because he says this, this, and that, and the other. But they're the same people who refuse to give you raise the minimum wage. You know, so you can have a living wage. You understand? So people can see, they can see you say slanderous things, but they don't want to be judged on when they are keeping people in captivity and bondage as well. So I'm excited about what God is showing us in this season and time for us, because he's showing us all kinds of hypocrisy in ourselves and in other people too, this kind of thing, and the system. So please do not ignore this political process, because it's showing us some spiritual things as well, how we should live according to the word that comes out of our mouth and our actions and our deeds. Amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that's the word for today. And are there any announcements?
I will be out of town for a week.
You're going to be out of town for a week?
Yes.
We're going to miss you.
I know.
So hurry back. You're back.
Okay.
When will you be back?
I will be back on the Sunday after Easter. I'll be back on the 3rd of April.
3rd of April. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've been shifting some things around, trying to make sure that everything is working together. I was talking to Minister Lunny the other day, some housekeeping things. We're going to start our own version of our Sunday school. I guess
okay.
We could start that in April. That'll be the first hour, you know, 4 to 5. We're going to move our broadcast back down so that we can want to make sure that not only our children but our adults are getting grounded in the Word of God. So we want to take time to do that. And so we're believing in April that all the transportation issues are going to be worked out, and we're going to be able to go full force with our time of study together as a church family, okay? So we look forward to that. Glory to God. I want everybody remember to pray for one another, even if we come on the line on Monday. For this, we pray time is 5 o'clock, and we want to be in prayer. We got so much to pray for, particularly in this particular season now. And so we want to be found. If you can't get on the line, please, as soon as you wake up, open up your eyes. Pray for our church family. Pray for the Love Zone, the Unfailing Love Ministries, and all those concerned, all those attached to this ministry and your community, your home and your community. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Please remember to share your tithes and your offerings is there. There are ways that you can do that from, you know, directly from your account to our account. That'll be a blessing that's there. We want to be found ready on the first to take care of our monthly obligations. I did find some more Bibles out at where we got them from, but at a different store, and so they're still $4.99, so I want to get us at least 10 more Compass Bibles as the church grows. We expect the church to grow, right? Absolutely.
Amen.
And so we're getting ready. Pastor Lonnie and I are trying to put some foundational things together for a two-day revival to bring into our church, and so we're looking forward to that. So some exciting things are on the books and getting ready to happen. Elder Good is on April the 9th. Is going to be bringing forth the word of the Lord as a minister. He's going to bring the preach word, and Brother Matthew is going to bring his preach word as well too. So we got some things that are coming up. I'm going to be asking you to do a little bit more to press in there because we got a mandate to love the hell out of some people, right? And grow up to leaders. And champions train how? The hardest.
Wow.
Amen. Glory to God. And so, again, we just want to take a moment now to those that are listening live or archived that are not a part of our Love Zone community, the Unfailing Love Ministries. First of all, we want to invite you into the kingdom by way of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the whole world. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him shall be saved, shall have eternal life. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he died for your sins, rose again, that said that you shall be saved. So we believe between those two, salvation is promised to you if you buy into it. We want you to be saved first, but then if you want a community, a loving community, whether here on cyberspace or on location, 5311 Distributor Drive, if you want to be a part of us, be encouraged by us, if you want to train to be a leader that's love and fulfill your calling on your life in a love-based manner, then we invite you to be a part of us. But most of all, we want you to be in the kingdom to receive eternal life through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so we invite you. All you have to do is go to the scriptures and say just what the scriptures say. If you don't remember what I said, Romans 10:9-10 and John 3:16 will get you there. But if you like to let us know that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'd like for us to continue to support you in your salvation walk and maturity, just reach out and let us know that. We do have a Facebook site, Unfailing Love Ministries. You can go there or you can go to my page, Dr. V with Love or Dr. Verlaine Gould, and connect with us. Amen. No matter where you are in the world, you can connect with us. Isn't that awesome? God would give us technology so that we can go ye into the hedges and highways, and we're going by cyberspace as well as in our local community. What an awesome thing that is. Okay, we're going to let Minister Lonnie close us out in prayer, Pastor Lonnie. And if all my is in that Baptist way, if all minds and hearts are clear,
Oh, Father God, we thank you for this wonderful word that we received today from our pastor, Lord God. We thank you again for allowing us to use this medium to reach the world, to proclaim your glory, to proclaim your honor, and to deliver your word so we can help save. We can help people make up their mind. It's their choice.
Hey.
And we want to help them make up their mind to have the right choice. Lord, we love you so much. And we appreciate what you have done for us on a day-to-day basis.
They talk about
in Jesus' name, amen.
It's about to commend or to praise something or someone with a loud voice, with a loud exuberance.
Until next Saturday, join us at our Very Love Ministries, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. God bless you, and we love you. Let's invoke the Lord together as we close out.
For out of the mouth of the babe come protected praise. Come on and put those hands together as we begin to praise and magnify the Lord our God, for he is worthy of our praise.
Hallelujah. Some of that candy, baby.